I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
Oh, we're back for some Wrestle Me fun. How the devil are you?
I'm good. Look, I've been through WrestleMania 27. Things could only get better.
And it did get better. I'm looking forward to getting to this one.
Away.
Sorry, we don't know whether it's going to get better or not.
It is going to get better. How could it be worse? John Cena and the fucking Miz.
Could not be worse than that. Just a reminder that we do have a Patreon. I realise I'm preaching to the choir, no doubt, for those of you who want to get involved. It's patreon.com/wrestleme. That's patreon.com/wrestleme. And on there is an extra show a week.
Yep.
We have recently had two email specials where we answer your questions and talk about...
We get you to send us, basically, things like pictures, and then we will just talk about them. It's very much a not hard work for us, but does rely on the goodwill of the people who are already paying for us to do the show.
But
we are very grateful.
But there's some excellent wrestler encounters that we've been talking about. A couple of email specials there. We've done Capital Combat.
Yeah,
we've done
the Great American Bash 1990.
American Bash, and we are moving on to around about now or in a week or so's time. You are going to be getting... CM Punk. You are going to be getting the pipe bomb promo and his big pay-per-view that year.
The Money in the Bank 2011. Mm. Now, look, I don't want to make it seem like this was all worked out, but a lot of people had asked for Money in the Bank, and it really does form more than a companion piece to this WrestleMania.
It really does.
I've actually had difficulty today, so we've recorded this at the same time as we recorded Money in the Bank, and it's not that far apart in time. It's about 6 months. And the problem with that is I've had to tell some of the stories that normally I'd have told here.
Right.
I've told there.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've got two masters now.
And, one of them is green.
Yes, exactly. And the other one is whatever colour you people are. Dirty brown. I don't know.
One of them keeping these microphones full of 48 volts of phantom power.
Yeah.
And one of them isn't. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Let me make it clear that the money doesn't actually cover the hire of the studio, especially during lockdown when all of our other studio bookings have been cancelled. So let us return to times that were better.
Yes.
Not that far back. That was Jimmy Savile. Not the 70s.
You do tend to talk when you are talking in a glib fashion. You tend to talk like Jimmy Savile.
Give me Jimmy Savile. it's my new perfume line. Reality is I have actually spent two fruitless years desperately trying to put together a little package about... Jimmy Savile's career in wrestling.
Mm.
And I will do it. Yes. And I will put it on the Patreon.
You threatened us with that so many times.
Do you know, it's
you sicken me.
Imagine the two things that are the hardest to research. Mm. One is a pseudo sport that has always been looked down on and was notoriously secretive because of its fixed and rigged nature.
Yes.
That had to be hidden from an audience. Mm. And two, the proclivities of one of Britain's worst serial paedophiles. Now, going to sort of go, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on record about both of those.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it's all a bit murky.
Yeah, it's a little bit murky. It's a little bit he said, she said.
Well, no, I mean, it's not. Well, it's
well, not on the paedophile side, definitely, yes. It's not.
The wrestling thing is
he said, she
said. People are also big liars, but usually about things that are, like, unimportant. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, look, they're all, everything's awful.
But when you had this idea, we were about a year into the project, and I thought, I don't think it's going to be the great crowd puller that you think it is, Mark.
No.
But if we put it behind the Patreon wall, they've paid for it and they're in on it.
Basically,
they are funding the story of Jimmy Savile, a convicted and deceased paedophile.
My thing is, you see, is I thought if I do it well enough, we might get noticed by The Observer. And they'll go, that's all I do anything for. I want to be noticed by The Observer.
If Purple Aki can't do it.
Which we told very well.
Yes, thank you, and responsibly.
I look at that and I want them to say, you might not have any interest in a wrestling podcast, but think again.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to do a thing.
If you
saying,
like crime and paedophile, like, why are people more interested in men throwing bodies off bridges and convicted paedophiles than they are wrestling podcasts?
I can give you half a dozen wrestling murderers.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you half a dozen wrestling paedophiles, right?
Yeah.
If that's what it takes, if that's what it takes for The Observer to put me on the front of their magazine, Pete, you can also come along because they'll probably say you both come along and I'll have a night where I go, I could just say you couldn't come, and then I'll be on, but then I go, no, because and then he'll see the cover and it'll be difficult.
Yeah, it'd be like Virgil.
Yes. Yeah, it's exactly that. Look, just so long as we get on the front of The Observer, I don't care.
Okay,
the important thing is the Jimmy Savile thing, it will be fantastic. If I can find out anything. I mean, I really can't. It's amazing.
You've probably sold something mostly researched all you can.
Yes, I have. And I've actually mainly used other people's research who I've contacted, and they are very good at this sort of thing. But once you've got even the information, you're a bit like, what do we do with it now? That's where we come in, Pete, because we're the storytellers.
We are. We are the storytellers.
Let's prove it.
Yes.
Right.
Patreon.com/ wrestle me. Tell your friends.
Yeah, I should mention it's not going to be a thing where I go, he's actually brilliant. We all thought he was bad, didn't we? But now I've looked at his wrestling career, I think he's wonderful.
But you spoke about this before. People will, they'll talk about his life. You know, technically, he raised a lot of money for charities, and they continue to use that money to this very day. That's all I'm saying. But on the flip side, the idea of him being a wrestler is so grubby, it was never mentioned when he died.
No. It's
nowhere.
I spoke to Dan Davis, who wrote the classic book on Jimmy Savile, In Plain Sight, which I think we've mentioned on this podcast before. It was due to, originally, when he pitched it was going to be called Apocalypse Now Then, which is as good as it gets.
Yes.
But I spoke to Dan Davis, who wrote the book, and there are a few mentions of wrestling in there. And he actually said, well, I was going to look at it a bit more. He said, I got a couple of people to research it for me. And so he put me in touch with some of those people. So it's interesting, but I mean, it's sort of interesting from, I mean, it doesn't add anything to that big Jimmy Savile story, particularly, because it's about a niche thing. But I think, you know, as far as wrestling goes, it's a fascinating glimpse into a period of wrestling that nobody really talks about, which is, you know, you're talking about wrestling in the Northwest in the 1970s, also all tied up with the ownership of bars, you know, wrestlers very much part of the nighttime economy. Very much the, I was about to say, the grooming gangs of their day. But it's that thing of nighttime economy is always people who are a little bit outside of normal life, if you like. And they're big, totally unrelated, but I was going to put it in the Savile documentary because it's all part of it. But Big Daddy used to own a nightclub in Halifax. And I believe they saw some great sort of musical performances there. It later became a Northern Soul Club.
Right.
But I've been looking into Big Daddy's business affairs. I mean, it couldn't be more thrilling.
And that's what you can pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're going to do CM Punk and his pipe.
Yeah, I mean, let's
make that very clear.
That's probably the bit to sell.
I mean, that'll be the weekly show, but there'll be little extras. Because we have been averaging, like, a weekly show and then a little extra in there as well.
Entirely. So, some people will look at it and they'll go, Patreon is actually a bit of a rip-off, because what you're doing is, you're quite popular, and then you're like, and we can't hear it. Well, you can hear it. And the good thing about it is, you know, it's actually, we're not going to rip you off. It's not just like this, but we go, oh, there's an extra 15 minutes. We've done loads.
Actually,
it's fucking disrespectful not to be part of it.
Mark wrote a 47-page newsletter.
Exactly.
And it was insanely good. And if you want a slice of that, head over to the Patreon. And also, it's completely ad-free as well, so you don't hear adverts for races and shit. So don't worry.
I think it's racism. It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time.
Don't bring that in.
Have you thought about racism? Would you like to be more? Okay. WrestleMania 28. Let's go back to the 1st of April 2012.
Ooh, baby.
The Sun Life Stadium, Miami, Florida. I believe Sun Life, are they another insurer?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, all of those stadiums. Mm. Obviously, a lot of money in insurance.
Yeah, really well, people just kind of love, unless you are a wrestler, and, yes, and Rick Rude fucked everyone.
The irony of performing in a stadium with a basic service that is denied to you. The tagline of this WrestleMania is, of course, once in a lifetime.
Nice.
So long as you died before April 2013, because the main event of Rock versus John Cena would happen again the following year at WrestleMania 29.
Okay, right.
WrestleMania 29, Rock versus Cena. That was the sixth time that the same match happened at consecutive WrestleManias. Mm. At WrestleMania 3 and 4, we saw Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant mm-hmm. twice in the first round of the tournament in WrestleMania 4. Bret Hart versus Yokozuna happened at WrestleMania 9 and then 10. The Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian was at 16 and 17. And Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, of course, 25 and 26. Mm. We also had Undertaker and Triple H at 27. And this one, 28. Mm. So two matches here that very much not once in a lifetime. They were twice in a three-year period.
Why do they do these? They know their history. There's only 28 of them to go through to just check out. Get the old corkboard out and
it's
the string.
Easily done. But actually, what this was very much a main event that they knew was not only once in a lifetime, even at this point.
Right.
It had been put together the year before. They knew that Rock would come back to host, and that would be the setup. They knew that there would be the first match between them at the following WrestleMania, and then they knew they would have the return match at the third. So they knew full well, this false booking, they knew full well that this was not going to be once in a lifetime at any point. This WrestleMania is a record breaker, and it's a record breaker for the most simple reason ever. It grossed more money than any other WrestleMania in history.
Right.
It got 1.217 million buys. That surpassed WrestleMania 23, which was the one that had the Battle of the Billionaires, the Trump and Vince McMahon one.
Is this just because it was a huge stadium and also the buy-ins were... people were just a bit more confident spending money online, maybe? I know it's only...
It could be, but I think it comes down to one thing, and that's The Rock. It was the return of The Rock.
Right.
You know, a genuinely beloved big name superstar and he was returning in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It sold out the tickets in Miami, which is Rock's hometown, but when it came to pay-per-view buys, it was up, I think, only a small amount on the previous year, 1.23. So
right.
As you say, people are beginning to do that. The reality is it will always now be the biggest grossing WrestleMania because with the shift to the network, we've destroyed the pay-per-view model.
Yeah.
So this one, it took global sales, I think, of $67 million.
Jesus.
What a huge
Christ.
Event. it was, it really is just, it just came down to The Rock. Mm. The previous year at WrestleMania 27, the main event is John Cena versus The Miz. The Rock has spiked the buys on that simply by his presence.
Yeah.
People know surely he's going to get involved in some way in the main event. This one where he comes back, it absolutely peaks even that.
Because he was billed as fighting.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing was he'd been billed as fighting the day after WrestleMania 27.
Yeah.
They did a Raw where Cena and Rock came together and they shook hands to say, we will meet next year at WrestleMania. If you watch that back on Raw, it's fascinating because the crowd are really excited for all of it, except for the bit where they shake hands to say, we'll do it next year. Because they're like, all right, so...
I've got my own year for this.
Literally couldn't be further away from getting to see that. Marvellous.
We could be one day away. We could be yes. one day further away.
Yeah. This they also have this thing throughout it, which is the end of an era. And the end of the era thing is a match between Undertaker and Triple H with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee.
Yeah.
And the idea was they were basically putting to bed the Attitude Era and the big stars there, and they were moving forward. So the end of the era that also happens here is the end of the pay-per-view massive buys, because the network is now... beginning to come in the form of the 24/7, which was the precursor to it, and
right.
then later WrestleMania moving on to that. So they will never ever beat this high point again.
Yeah, but I mean, they actually sort of like, so I got the feeling that they were billing the kind of like the Change of the Guard and the, like the mixture of the generations with the Cena and Rock match, even though I kind of mulch those two together kind of time-wise anyway. They're only a few years apart anyway.
They are a few years apart. They're very much figureheads of their own eras.
Yeah,
so you
okay.
have The Rock. The Rock is there in the Attitude Era.
Right.
And he goes through, if you like, to the SmackDown era because he is the impetus behind that secondary show coming.
Yeah.
It's popular enough to front it. They take it from his, you know, I will lay for SmackDown. That word coming from The Rock's sort of own lexicography. And then you've got Cena appearing as a rookie at a time when, you know, Rock is huge and beginning to wind down. As he winds down, Cena is winding up.
Right.
So the two of them haven't actually really had any crossover, apart from the fact that this WrestleMania, they made one really stupid decision, and that was this wasn't Rock's first match back. 6 months before, he and Cena had teamed at Survivor Series against Miz and R-Truth. Rock comes back in Madison Square Garden, huge response.
Yeah.
There was no need to throw that away.
Why would they do that?
I think there was a feeling that they wanted Rock to make sure he wasn't too rusty.
Although, do it in the development centre or do it in a...
But it's 6 months before as well. I cannot understand why they threw that away. It might have been that they were worried about a terrible buy rate for Survivor Series, so they hot-shotted it slightly,
right,
brought him in a meaningless match. Traditionally, over the years, when you had two big fan favourites, and even though John Cena is booed out of the arena, certainly at Survivor Series, and, oh my God, at WrestleMania. I don't think there's ever been anyone in history
who's been
booed by as many people. I don't think there is. You turn up there, 80,000 people are booing the shit out of you.
Well, we talked about that on the Patreon, Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
John Cena comes out and he doesn't do any of his normal stuff because he knows
he can't win.
That he cannot possibly win.
He does.
In Illinois against CM Punk. See you later.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
He does it in
Don't
both of
out.
Them as well. He turns to the camera that's filming him and he'll say something. So in the Survivor Series, when they boo him when he comes out for his tag match with The Rock, he turns, it's in Madison Square Garden, he turns and goes, "Oh, New York's favourite son, they love me here." And Cena has got to the point where he's so alienated from the crowd that he is just leaning and sort of going, "People out there, you're my friends, aren't you? Aren't you? I will hang on to you. If I can see a camera, there might be people out there who like me." Just heartbreaking. So I just don't, I can't think of any scenario. I was thinking like, well, dictators. And you're like, no, because they don't get there and get really booed.
No.
You know, there's people sort of
level of control.
Don't know, even like when it goes really badly,
they'd be protected from it, wouldn't they?
There's a famous story about how one of the revolutions was sparked, and I can't remember whether it was in Eastern Europe or the Middle East. And it was basically, I'm sure it was Eastern Europe, so it would have been around the 90s.
Right.
And somebody was trying to say something positive.
Right.
And in the language, it sounded very similar to the word boo. And they were chanting something positive. But as people heard what they thought was booing, they also began booing.
Right.
And suddenly everybody realised the dictator was really unpopular. And within a month, he's dead. And it's, you know, the glorious Velvet Revolution or whatever. Now, that's what happens to John Cena. But I was thinking, even with that dictator, not all 80,000 people. There wouldn't be that many people. I can't think that there's anyone in history who is as loudly booed as John Cena. I'm willing to be wrong, but I can't see any scenario. It's like not even like when George Osborne turned up at the Olympics and he got booed. A, there wasn't 80,000 people there. B, it wasn't as loud as John Cena gets. It's really hatred.
Up in a shit. I don't know. I just can't like.
Yeah, when would it have happened?
When would it have happened?
Like Gaddafi. You go, everyone hated him, but it's like there are never 80,000 people booing him.
No.
I'm not saying John Cena's worse than Gaddafi.
Would they
I'm
drag him through the
he's
streets?
He's been to places that Gaddafi's not been.
Would John Cena's son play for an Italian football team?
Would John Cena hide in a pipe
and be
put on the back of a flatbed truck and paraded and his picture appear in the mirror?
We just don't know.
We do not
the
know.
The future holds many, many surprises for us all.
It's an exciting, bold new future, brother. When Cena's despotic reign has ended finally. just a little trivia fact here. Future WWE Women's Tag Team Champion Billie Kay was in attendance here. We will see her later on. She's lovely, Billie Kay, Australian performer. Best known, I think, for the little interview she gave where she shouted the phrase, "Are you joking me?" Which I think about continuously. "Are you joking me?" Amazing.
Well, it all kicks off with Lillian Garcia's performance. I frequently don't know who these people are who start the shows because they're either American pop stars or just people I've just, or, you know,
people who have faded into the mists of time.
Exactly.
You know.
You know, this woman, born in Madrid, like military kid, graduated university, top percentile, cum laude, whatever you call it. Her own radio show, Drive Time in the 90s in America. Top 10 Miss South Carolina beauty queen, you know, in a film with Burt Reynolds. And she's a wrestler and she's singing the Star-Spangled Banner. And she's what a life that woman has led.
Amazing.
And I'd never heard of Lillian Garcia before this point.
No. She's been a WrestleMania ring announcer before. I think she may have even done the national anthem before.
Oh, shit, has she?
But that's the thing about her. You take her for granted. You just go, she's an employee. She comes out and she sings it and you go, yeah, Lillian didn't fuck it up. And you go, actually, you go, shitting hell. It's not an exciting booking, but she nails it.
Who is Rocket? Was it Rockin' Robin? Is it Rockin' Robin?
Yeah, Rockin' Robin. Poor Rockin' Robin. She's been edited off WrestleMania 5, the network thing. They don't even mention her when they do the rundowns of
the stars that have done it.
Well, yeah, and not just that. When they do the sort of some that were great and some that slightly missed the mark, they'll do those sorts of things. Go, Willie Nelson turned up. He tried his best, but he must have been smoking something that day and he certainly looked the part. What they don't do is ever mention Rockin' Robin. Not even in a jokey way. It's like, that is absolutely struck off the record. Poor Rockin' Robin.
Poor Rockin' Robin.
We have soldiers there again, and there's such a big stage that it's got all these flat bits. It looks like a war memorial. It looks like they're about to bring names up onto it because there's so many troops. Then you get the fly past. Big shout out to the pilots, Big Earl, Dix, and Shrek.
One of them is called Shrek.
Shrek.
That's just his call sign, surely. You cannot...
Yeah.
It's infringing IP.
Wait, it is infringing IP. Even as a nickname, it does infringe IP.
It does.
exactly. Yeah. You can't just...
If WWE I call myself, must be aware of that.
I'm Mark WWE Haynes. They wouldn't go, well,
no,
it's his nickname.
It's my nickname.
Yeah.
That's what they call
I'd
me.
I'd be sued. I know he's a war hero. He's done great service. We thank him for his service. But you can't come back and start nicking Disney's IP.
You really, really can't.
I mean, that's not the American way.
It's just disrespectful. John Cena.
Palm tree struts on the structure over the ring, which puts it over there in case of rain, and has the screens on as well, so you can, if you buy a ticket that you think is quite expensive, and you go, but it's a long way back, but the price makes me think I'll be able to see the ring.
Yeah,
those are the screens that you get to see.
Yeah,
that legally mean you can't ask for your money back.
The thing that would annoy me is that the lighting rig that holds up the whole structure could have been slightly more see through, but they've been obstructed by decorating them as if they are palm trees.
Yeah.
Fucking annoying.
It looks a little bit like a sort of barbecue section at an Iranian millionaire's house, doesn't it? It's
Colonel Gaddafi's barbecue.
Exactly.
It's Colonel Gaddafi's barbecue.
I never thought of this before as the Colonel Gaddafi WrestleMania, but everything is beginning to fall into place. Lillian Garcia does. She's got this slight vocal tick where you know how some sort of, you know, you get that Whitney Houston sort of warble, the Celine Dion ridiculous high note,
the Mariah Carey
sort of thing. But Lillian comes
shouts,
out.
She fuck. After every third word, she screams fuck. Very disrespectful.
Yeah, she gets literally hearing that, it's magic. She every time the word from comes,
right,
she really goes from.
like she's revving up a monster truck. Loving it.
So even, you know, how does it go? From sea to shining sea, she'll sort of go, from sea to shine. Once you notice it, it's brilliant. And there's, of course, there has to be, in the opening of WrestleMania, you have to see a sign that is clearly someone from Britain. And
yes, there's a lot
comes,
of that around, yeah.
Ganon, take a drink. I like that one because I like the idea that WWE are like, every fucking year there's a British sign in there.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure no Union Jacks.
No.
No sort of I'm from London.
No.
No more fucking Purple Aki. Credit as well during that Rock and Cena thing, the guy who was at WrestleMania with the purple Aki sign, he's gone to Raw as well. So the last moment they have where the two of them are looking at each other, they're basically he's got also- between them, between their heads, Rock and Cena, is just the words purple Aki. I love the fact that he kept that sign both nights running.
Oh,
magic.
Very enjoyable. But the theme this time round, Flo-Rida, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah, that one. Oh, love it. I mean, it's a banger. I'm so glad we've... People talk about that Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And the... what was the Relentless Banging Era? What was the...
Ruthless Aggression.
Ruthless Aggression Era.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about the new metal. The new metal is gone.
Yep.
We're now into big pop hip-hop bangers.
We are. And we're slightly at that point where they're going, we need to look like an entertainment group.
Yeah.
And this is very much, you know, we're appealing to the VH1 demographic, the MTV. kids, and they're trying to get hip with an audience that are like, we do not like urban music. You know, I think they sort of, they're still probably like, if you asked most wrestling fans, even at this time, what music do you like? They'd go, well, I suppose a little bit of country isn't bad.
Yes.
You know, you're still slightly there.
You're still there, yes.
I would love one pay-per-view to have just been done with like really like boring cold glacial folk.
How about, yeah,
like, I don't mean boring either.
Like
Fleet Foxes, you know, just weirdly, I think it could really work. It could be sort of like quite sinister and stuff like that. I think you'd, the Decemberists coming out, you know? I'd quite like to see
the
that.
The new pornographers writing the theme yeah. for WWE's.
Welcome to WWE Winter Hymnal.
Well, the voice that they use, he's been used before, obviously, but he sounded very crisp. Been very clear. He's a man who does, I think he does the Fox voice. I think he's the voice of Fox. He's got a beautiful, beautiful timbre. But the clips that they cut into it, when you see all the wrestlers appear in the montage, when Mean Mark, before he becomes The Undertaker,
yeah.
Well, I guess he's just started as The Undertaker. I don't know who the commentator is. He goes, look at the size of that! And he's just a bit of meat. This is life, and it can be experienced only once, like tonight. What does that mean? What does that fucking mean, you weird?
They always overwrite the starts of WrestleMania.
Really, but then they mug themselves off thematically by just cutting together The Rock saying something sexual.
Yes.
And it's like, and the more and more maybe I just don't see enough of The Rock at the different WrestleManias because obviously he's had a big gap. But like, the more I hear The Rock talk about his penis, the less I think he's had sex. If I would put a reasonable amount of money on The Rock never having sex.
It'd be great.
He said he's nothing down there.
Even worse than that, I would love to have sex. I keep on trying to have sex with people. No woman has yet let The Rock have sex with her. I don't know how you guys do it. I do not understand it.
She just keeps coming in, ruffling the woman's hair. And that's a story from the patron.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration. And Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I really like the bit where they did the kid photos where they show young Cena and young Rock.
Yeah.
And they've got that idea about, you know, that their lives have been building up to this moment. I like that sort of stuff.
But then I do see Rocky Johnson, and then I heard the Rock do an interview with Oprah a week or two after he died, his dad died, and he didn't seem like the easiest man to get along with. And so I saw that photo, I went, why are men dicks?
Felt a bit sad.
Why do men have to just pass on, like, why just have to treat their sons badly?
Well, I mean, you know, look, I'm not saying that it's a good thing to treat your children badly, but I mean, it sort of all worked out with the Rock, didn't it, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess so,
I mean, 7 years of being a bit nervous, I mean, you know, you paid off in spades.
I'm very much of Mr. T's treat your mother right.
Exactly.
That's the dynamic.
Look, we've established that the Rock's life looks fantastic. He's never had sex with a woman. B, never had sex with a man. So, you know, poor lad. Bad luck, Rock.
Oh, dear.
Man. They call me the Rock because the semen has backed up into a solid mass.
It's like a kidney stone.
That's why I'm
it's
called
like a
the
pencil.
Rock.
Yeah. It's like one of those chunky pencil leads you get when you're a kid.
Oh, good.
Oh, dear.
You can always listen to us on the Patreon. I'm sure we're being more sensible over there. I don't know. I do like that they use the kids' photos and stuff, and they don't do that with Undertaker and Triple H, because Undertaker, with his gimmick, you don't want to sort of go, look at this.
Little dead boy.
I don't think he's very cute. look at that gangly lad. But it's annoying when they build up a theme and then halfway through the actual package they have to sort of drop it.
Yeah.
And they go, shit, didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, go back to the drawing board and find something you know. They had 8 shows on this WrestleMania. And actually, of the modern WrestleManias that we've watched, this is the first one for a long time that didn't feel like an unbelievable endurance.
Oh, before I even realised it, I was about an hour and a half in, and that is so rare.
Really
for
rare.
For WrestleManias.
This is just, I don't know, maybe it's sort of like, maybe because they were so aware that really what this was is a single match show.
Mm.
They have a slight thing of going, do you know what, let's not just bog it down.
Yeah.
The decision was made quite early on. It was overrunning by the time they you know, got to the sort of, you know, the second part of it. They actually got rid of a match. There was a match that didn't take place, which was Tons of Fun, who were the tag team of Brodus Clay and Tensai, better known as Albert, and the Funkadactyls, Naomi and Cameron, against the Team Rhodes Scholars, who were Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, and the Bellas. But due to Triple H and Brock Lesnar, and then Undertaker, and... Oh, no! I've got a fact in from next year!
What?
Get out!
Have you put a fact in from next year's WrestleMania?
I think I have.
Because Cody Rhodes was in this bill.
He was. Ignore yes. this.
Ignore that
Ignore
bit.
Ignore this.
We are better on the Patreon. Would you like to read what I have written on my notes? Boots to lady parts. Now, I think that must have been a sign.
Are you joining Too Cool, the tag team? Is that your name? Boots to lady parts.
It must have been a sign. But I usually write sign next to all of the signs I enjoy.
Yeah.
But it's boots to the number, lady parts.
I believe that's a Rock reference. So he would say boots to asses. That would be
right.
a thing. But they're like, Cena, he doesn't have an arse. He has lady parts. The guy does not know anatomy.
And he doesn't know the Rock's anatomy.
No, maybe the Rock wrote that sign. You don't even have an arse. You have, I don't know.
I don't know
the mysteries of the human body. And yet I would like to. I'd like nothing more.
We used to have a boss who works for a pretty big media organisation who used to think that women shat out of their vaginas. We've mentioned him before on this podcast,
yeah.
I think.
Is that when we worked for Rock's company? New running joke. There was actually a dark match on here that they cut, which was the Colons, Primo and Epico.
Epico's a great name.
At the time of recording, were let go a couple of weeks ago in part of the post-WrestleMania cull. They took on the Usos and Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. I didn't even bother to find out who won that.
It was Primo and Epico with Rosa Mendez.
That's amazing that Primo and Epico could say, we had a WrestleMania win. It just seems totally unlikely.
A triple threat tag team match. It just seems overbooked for a dark match. I mean, all right, get him on the bill, but I mean, at least...
Pete, I made it somehow.
Put it on the network. I can watch it. It's fine.
Pete, I made it clear...
It's 5 minutes long.
That it was already overrunning, and a match that happened next year, it was overrunning so much that for some reason I introduced a match from next year. So, come on.
The great thing... Now, I love Mark. The best thing about this WrestleMania is that it is open air.
Yeah.
From the one in... Who was the one who came in on a camel on that first in Vegas?
Bobby Heenan. Yeah.
Ever since he came in on that camel, I thought, I like that extra peril of the weather being shit. And I love the like you say, when it starts to get dark, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't do, though, however... is constantly remind the people who are watching at home that people are still filing in and don't worry about the attendance. I know it looks a bit spotty.
Yeah.
Because Michael Cole says the fans are filing in. King Lawler, the fans are still filing in, guys. All right, we get it. The place looks half empty and they've missed Primo and Epico.
Yeah.
To win a match.
Early matches in the later WrestleManias that are stadiums.
Mm.
I don't know what it is that people are like.
I'll
probably get there first. Well, it says doors at 2. It says show starts, 6:30. So should we leave about, 7? Stuff like that. I mean, it'd be unusual because we've got ringside tickets, that's all. We've paid £1,500 for these. So, yeah, we'll get there soon, though.
It's called the big tree seat. I'm sure it's not reduced vision or anything like that.
It is mental, but there's some of the early matches that you see in later WrestleManias. There's like a match between Austin Aries and Pac for the Cruiserweight belt. And I remember that's a really good match, but it's one that it looks like they're doing it in isolation like they are now in empty arenas.
Right, okay.
Where it's
just
there's so few people have turned up. If you buy tickets for WrestleMania, fucking turn up.
But the thing is, it does get longer and longer, isn't it? It is like I think any time I've watched wrestling live, I think which is like 3 or 4 times maybe, I've never been there at the start just simply because it's always happening. It goes on for a long time. I'm always late.
Yeah.
It's easy to get a drink in the pub around the corner, so it's absolutely fine.
There's also that thing which you don't really notice so much in wrestling anymore, and I think it's because they've become wise to it and they're like, let's not have an exit directly opposite the hard camera.
Yeah,
because
right,
that thing about when the bell would go and everyone would be just like, fucking off now. Right, done. No, if we get out quickly, we can beat the rest in the car park. You know, they are straight out.
Yeah.
You don't see so much of that in wrestling anymore, which I sort of miss. I'm trying to think the last time I was like literally craning over your back and you like hear a whistle go and then you're like, shwink, gone, whink, yeah, done. I seem to remember like being with like, you know, friends over the years at wrestling and leaving and just going, hovering by the door going, let's just see if anyone comes out and stuff. And I'm just going, would you fucking hurry up? We're going to take us an hour to get back from Wembley
exactly.
Arena. You know, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can we go around the back and see if Greg Valentine drives by in his car? No. Let's do one match.
Yeah, let's do one match. I mean, it's an 18-second match.
It is.
I mean, what I would do is, in the heat of the, where are we, Miami?
Yep.
The Miami Sun, put Sheamus out there.
Oh.
A man whose skin is increasingly making me feel sick when I see it.
He's what's weird about it is he's waxy in this, isn't he? He's so pale, he's like waxy. And looks like marbled beef fat.
There
you know
was,
when you get like a beef joint and it's sort of got slightly bobbly fat on it?
Mm.
He looks like he's made of that. It's fucking repulsive.
There was, pornography and wrestling has a relationship of sorts, and growing up, a particular brand of pornographers made one of my favourite scenes that I would go back and back to for
my
needs.
Are we talking about Big Beef Fat Boys?
But it was a bit of an orgy scene, but one of the actors had Sheamus's skin and his penis was completely shaved.
Okay.
And his penis was that sausagey kind of white sausage.
Oh, kind of, like that German.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's like
yeah.
black pudding, but they have
but
a different
white
one that's
pudding.
White.
Yeah, it's white pudding, yeah. He looked like white pudding. And and I could only, but it was still one of my faves. It was one of my go-tos.
White
and every time
is
I see
such a good name.
Sheamus's penis must be the same colour as his skin. And every time I look at Sheamus's white skin, and I'm Irish. I'm 60% Irish according to a DNA test I took. It's fine, but good lord, his skin.
It's his gimmick. It is his gimmick.
I know,
he doesn't have
just,
that colour in real life.
It looks like it might, but his
he
blood
has
would
to
be
have
so
it.
red.
Yeah,
and if he bursts, it's going to look so weird.
The funny thing about that is, like, as he's become more of a star, he's able to sort of go, I don't really want to do the whole putting sunblock on when I'm outside in my house anymore. And they've sort of gone, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
But he's had to keep his hand in a bit. He can't get too tan. But you see him in this and you actually go, God, that was actually a massive sacrifice. Imagine, I think Paige had to do something similar when she had a glampire thing.
Yeah.
That they basically said, can you go out with, you know, sunblock on? Can you have a parasol? So imagine being poor Sheamus. He moves from fucking Ireland. And you just go,
yes, I get to live in Los Angeles.
Bad weather. Yep, I'm going to live in Florida. Sun all year round, Mom. Sun all year round. Oh, you're lucky, Stephen. You're lucky. It's going to be gorgeous, Mom. It's going to be gorgeous. Can you make sure that you don't have any of the sun touch you? Are you fucking joking?
I wear a wetsuit all the time.
Are you fucking joking me? Man, oh man, poor Sheamus.
Oh dear.
Well, in this one, he gets to squash Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds.
What was that about, Mark?
Well,
what's going on there
what
then?
What this is about is something that isn't as bad as it originally looks.
Right.
So on the night when this happened, everyone was pretty fucking furious because Daniel Bryan has spent much of the previous 6-8 months as the world champion.
Mm.
The idea is, remember last year he was taking on Sheamus for the US belt. It was moved to the pre-show. They felt that, you know, they'd got bumped. In this one, he's told he's got 18 seconds and he's losing to Sheamus. So they're beginning to have this thing which you'd think was probably, oh, total disrespect for Daniel Bryan. What it is actually a very clever bit of booking with WWE beginning to go, we notice that people are getting behind him and they want him pushed and they hate it when we don't push him.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? If we can handle this well, we can keep not pushing him.
Yeah.
We can actively destroy
him.
And that will make him more popular.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that makes Daniel Bryan so popular is the catchphrase, yes. Now, you wouldn't have thought in wrestling that someone would be able to get over a shorter word as a catchphrase than Steve Austin's what?
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan comes out, slashes it by 25%.
Right? Now, I've got USA, USA.
That's true. The yes chant starts because Daniel Bryan is being portrayed as a bad guy. And he's coming out going, yes, 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 like he's psyching himself up. Something he actually took from the MMA fighter Diego Sanchez.
Right.
Now, Diego Sanchez walked out to some UFC things. Mm. It was never a big thing, but he'd walk out going, yes, and the music would play, and he'd go, yeah, and he was just psyching himself up.
Right.
And they didn't make a big thing about, you know, here he comes, Diego, yes, Sanchez. Right. There was none of that. He just comes out, and Daniel Bryan sees it and goes, that's good.
Could have shot on it to see. Again, another 33%.
Even quick. Bryan begins nicking this, just sort of go, it makes me look like I'm taking everything too seriously.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm going into these matches and I'm psyching myself up and I'm, yes, yes, yes. So he starts to say that. Now, only when he became a heel did people really get behind yes.
Mm.
Because people began chanting no. So he'd be going, yes, yes. And they go, no, 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 no. So what you're beginning to see here is a swelling. And it's coming down to the fact that Daniel Bryan has suddenly found one thing that the crowd have really, really connected with. Now, there's all this talk about the fact they didn't really know what to do with him and that you know, they were wasting him and somehow he managed to get himself over. The reality is, in the pretty much the year building up to this, he's won Money in the Bank, he's been holding the world championship and they've been having him win, sometimes by slightly sort of snide methods. He's never really been dominant, but they're beginning to push him. And there is a school of thought that says this match isn't because they ran out of time, it isn't because they wanted to show Sheamus being dominant.
Yeah.
What they wanted to do is they wanted to get the crowd behind Daniel Bryan. Now, this match makes it seem like he's being wasted, which is clever. The next night, if this was the WWE's plan, it worked to perfection. If it wasn't, then, you know, they really fucking, you know, dropped the ball. Oh. They lucked up. They're absolutely true, because the crowd just constantly chanted yes, 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 all night long.
Right.
And Daniel Bryan gave a really good little promo speech there as well. You began hearing yes everywhere.
Right.
You just heard it constantly chanted in unison throughout the whole of the Raw the following night. Daniel Bryan spoke about it to GQ.com. Worth saying, GQ also, big fans of this podcast, one of the few legitimate organisations
who've
given
GQ.
Us a nice thing. Daniel Bryan said, I thought the whole thing was unreal, that all these people were beginning to get behind me. Or maybe they weren't getting behind me. Maybe it was just fun to chant yes. But it was really cool. I came out and they did a post-show dark match, and there was a really special moment where the audience were behind me 100%. And what happens is yes gets bigger and bigger, and it stops just being WWE, and you start hearing it at all wrestling. You hear it at Ring of Honor, you hear it at TNA, you hear it in this sort of independence, and then it goes international. So they start hearing it. Joel McHale did the yes chant on The Soup,
right,
which is that sort of, you know, pop culture-y sort
of
show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It turns up in NFL, it turns up in the NBA, it turns up on CBS Sports. I mean, it's just a sort of amazing thing. Now, the Bleacher Report spoke about it, and they said the simplicity of the chant helped make it versatile and catchy. It could be applied to nearly anything. Snow days, raises at work, free sandwiches, or a pretty girl accepting a date could all be celebrated with the Bryan-like celebration. A pretty fuck off.
What? What is your...
I get the point they're making, but imagine you say to someone, hey, what, you know, I just don't know if maybe you'd like to get a drink. And they went, sure. And you going, yes, yes, yes. Man, oh, do you know who you're like? You're like a fucking rock. Sling your hook. But WWE basically realised they've got this thing that originated with them that was getting, you know, used all over the country in all media and was like thunderously well received. And Daniel Bryan then just begins this inexorable rise.
Right.
WWE still didn't see him as the face of the company. And I think that
I said that if we could somehow select words from this podcast, we should see that sentence again and again.
Yeah, well, I mean, Daniel Bryan, I think, you know, he continually confounded the WWE's expectations of where he should be in the card.
Mm.
And whenever they changed to go, do you know what? Maybe he does deserve to be at this level. Daniel Bryan would take it to the next level.
Right.
And they'd have to basically catch up and go, well, maybe he does belong at this level. And within 2 years' time, you know, you'll see this. And it was, it's a unique, real, it felt like a fan movement. And they would later act on that to make it very much on air, like it was a fan movement. It became the Yes Movement.
Right.
But he had a very unusual career to get to WrestleMania 30, that it seemed to be the vocal disapproval of the audience when it didn't go the way they wanted regarding Daniel Bryan. So if he didn't appear in the Royal Rumble at number 30,
yeah.
which Rey Mysterio unfortunately did the year before WrestleMania 30, Rey Mysterio got booed out of the building. They weren't booing Rey Mysterio. They were booing it not being Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And so the WWE begin to notice the crowd response is the whole thing that pushes Daniel Bryan to where he gets to. And the reality is there would have been no crowd response if it wasn't for the fact that one day at this time he begins walking down the ramp going, yes,
yes,
yes, yes. Magic.
Enjoyable. Well, I hope you guys say yes, yes, yes to listening to Wrestle Me, which we'll be back next week doing what we do.
I really thought you were going to make a good plug for the Patreon there.
Sorry.
It's just missing. Every time I think you're at this level, Pete.
I've just got to catch you up to where you are. I mean, it's not a simple yes or no. It's very much you have to enter your credit card details into the Patreon system and say yes to that.
Look,
and then your bank has to say yes to the whole transaction going through in some cases.
The important thing
My Monzo account is fucking... Pete, are you sure you want to buy more of this?
I know,
yes, I do.
But the answer to every one of those insurmountable questions is yes. Whatever they say, yes. Are you sure this isn't a scam? Yes. Will you be putting more funds in to cover this later in the month? Yes.
Do you want the Jimmy Savile stuff? Yes.
I didn't think it was going to be yes.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.